All right. The next segment, Pediatric Feeding Tubes with Jess Mason, Jason Woods, and Becky Jacobson.
I get nervous with these. I don't know why. They're just feeding tubes. And it
they're holes in little kids' bellies.
Exactly. I mean, I had a patient here. She wasn't a pediatric patient, but she was a cerebral palsy patient. And this is just like 2 days ago, actually. The mom and dad had a visitation, right? They brought her home for the weekend, for the long weekend, pulled her out of her wheelchair into the bed, and they pulled out her feeding tube. And she actually had the mushroom cap feeding tube that was in her stomach. It had been already 7 months since she actually had it placed inside. So the mom comes in, she's pretty frantic because she knows already that it closes up quickly. So, you know, I brought him in from the doctor. The doctor came in and it was a J tube. He actually placed a G tube in, a little bit of lubricating jelly, cleaned up the site, put it in there, took an x-ray, and they were gone and it was done. And it was the easiest thing.
I think those are the key points right there, right?
Right?
Know how long it's been, because if it's less than 6 weeks, then you have a much higher risk of complications. But pop something in. And it's not going to necessarily be us, but for the longest time, we didn't have G-tubes in our ER. We had to actually go and find them and order them, because otherwise we were begging and borrowing and stealing or seeing if the patient had an extra one or sticking in a Foley cath. But it is time sensitive and it's not life or death, not in that moment. So it would be easy to ignore. But the fact that the mom was frantic and you're like, yeah, this makes sense. Let's just get her right in, because it's an easy thing to fix.
Right.
And if really there's a risk that this could close in an hour or two, these are vulnerable patients that go through a lot. Why make them suffer anymore when we have an easy fix? For me, the stuff that I really liked were just how they talked about both the skin prep, just testing to make sure it was in the right place, right? Little just turning it, making sure you've got a little bit of room,
a little bit of a tug to make sure it's in there.
Yeah, and then the fact that you don't use Coke anymore. That's the way I was trained. I was like, oh my gosh, we used to always have to go to the cafeteria, buy a warm soda, and have it sit there. So I thought that just warm water and how simple it is to
dissolve a penny. I mean, it could dissolve the food content that's in a G-tube, I would think. But yeah.
Of course, but how silly that we are that we were going for that as our rationale for cleaning something, whereas everything else in the universe gets cleaned with water.
Right.
So
I was telling Kathy that they should have like the more like the straws cleaners, and then that can probably dislodge a lot of stuff. Because we looked up thing that they said that looked like a golf tee, what they called it, but to use that to dislodge things. But they actually do have devices to dislodge G-tubes.
Stylet. Yeah. So just whatever that you have available and gently clean and use some nice warm water, and you shouldn't have to go any further than that. So
pretty much know when it was inserted. Get your doctor's eyes, even though it's not an emergent situation, but it is an urgent situation, because you don't want to have to have your patient go through a procedure if the hole has closed up, and, you know, prevent that from, you know, having to go to the surgical ward for that.
And know what your options are for replacement. Do you have G-tubes in your department? Do you know where to get them? If not, do you have Foleys that are the right size at least to maintain the opening?
And ask the patient's family members, because they're probably more well-versed than we are in putting these things in, because they deal with these patients all the time. Because, you know, that's their family member. So they probably have some ideas for us, too.
Yeah, absolutely.